and he's particular about who he lets in here. When he, when Pastor called, and in fact, it was Wednesday night when he first asked me to minister. It was supposed to be the PM service, and at that time we noticed a slight limp in his gait. But I certainly thank him for the opportunity to be here. I do pray that the good Lord above will take a coal off the altar of heaven and place it upon my lips, that I will not say anything that is displeasing to him. When Pastor asked me to bring the word, as I said, I thought it was going to be an evening service. And so I began to pray, and I asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to tell your people? What would you have me to tell your children? And the word kept coming to me. And as with most children, when we don't get the answer we want, we go back and we say, Dad, Dad, can I? And you know, it's kind of like a child. When Dad's had enough, he just quits answering you. And then you get that look. Well, God didn't give me that look, but he certainly quit answering me. So when you get that point, you just finally reach it and say, okay, that's obviously what you want me to preach on, so that's what we're going to preach on. If I had to give a name to this sermon, the sermon would be absolutely, I think. When I wrote in today, I was listening to a sermon on the radio, and it was hitting all the points. When Pastor got up here and started talking, I said, he's preaching my sermon. So whether I can deliver the goods the way the Lord wants me to or not, I know I'm on the right track. Absolutely, I think. Sounds silly, doesn't it? It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. They're complete opposites. Yet it is exactly what has crippled the Christian community. We have lost our belief in God's absolutes. We have begun to believe that there's a gray area. And folks, I want to tell you, in God's word, there is no gray area. God's word is absolute. It stands on its own. It has its foundation in God. And folks, I want to tell you right now, there is no other foundation on which to be on other than that of God. Pastor, Wednesday night when I had an opportunity, we were able to be ministered to by Brother Killian. And those of you who weren't here, you missed out. He brought a good word. And it gave me a lot to focus on because it made me realize, folks, we are in the end days. I don't want the young people to run out and do foolish things thinking, well, I've only got this long to live. Only God knows when that day is. You live your life as a Christian that God has made you to be. But our lies that we are hearing every day is taking its toll on the Christian walk in the respect that we believe there are gray areas and we believe that, well, there might be a different way. Pastor spoke after the sermon and he said a word which shook me to the core. He gave me a word that's being used in our society today, Chrislam. Chrislam. And it's the belief that a lot of folks have today that you can take Christians and Islam and pull them together and have a little tea party. We'll all gather and we'll just sing Kumbaya and no, folks, it's not going to work that way. Light and dark do not mix. Our children, to include spiritual children, are being subjected every day to that mentality. We're not going to get into politics. We don't need to. Because it's not just politics. It's in our media. It's in our schools. The problem is, you Christians, you're so close-minded. You just won't see anybody else's views. Guess what? Don't become so open-minded your brains fall out. And that's what's happened to most of society. They believe in opening up the possibilities so much that they've lost their common sense and they've lost their biblical grounding. We as parents, I no longer have a child, but I had a foster child for a while. As parents, we kind of tear down the concept of absolutes. When we tell our children, you never clean your room. Now, come on, folks. Never? They've never in their life cleaned their room. You always do that. Always? Really? You know, it seems silly. But if your child is looking at you, never? Always? Well, you've torn down those absolutes. They're absolute words that we blur by our actions. And politicians, let's look at that for a second, okay? Our politicians, you should be able to believe in them, right? Not exactly, no. There's no absolutes there. We know that. The same people who have been placed in office to defend the Constitution of the United States of America are destroying everything it stands for. So does that give our children faith in the system? Let's see. We're losing faith in mom and dad because of the absolutes are blurred. We're losing faith in our political system. The schools are teaching that we must consider all things, all religions, except Christianity. Because bring up Jesus Christ in school and they kick you out. You can wear a church with all types of, or shirt, all types of vulgarities on it, and they'll say, he's expressing himself. But wear a shirt with Jesus' name on it, and they'll expel you from 3 days for school. Folks, I want to tell you, everything that is put in place to build a child and help grow them is destroying them. It's destroying their belief in the absolute. I want to get quickly to the most important absolute of all. And that being that there is only one way to heaven. Folks, just as Scott said, it is absolutely true. Now, anyone who may say that may be identified as a hate monger. Well, you're just isolating yourself from everyone else. Because, see, you're taking that Christian view and it prevents all these other religions from having the same opportunity. No, I'm sorry. I beg to differ. I pray that they take that opportunity and come to know Jesus Christ the same way we do. Because I want to tell you, that is the only way. When someone starts to talk about us close-minded Christians, I have to say two things. The first thing is that, see, many of those other ways that you talk about, I tried them and they don't work. You're not going to get there. You're not going to get there through drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality. You're not going to get there through these false religions that lead you down a path other than that of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. Our young people every day are exposed in their classes, whether it is in school or whether it is in college. They're being exposed every day to the possibilities of this one world government, of the possibilities. What was it John Lennon said? Imagine all the people. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, I do imagine all the people, but it's not in this world. They're going to be gathered together in one religion, and that's going to be through Jesus Christ. Now, there'll be many more who are gathered together, but they're not going to be singing and praising the Lord. They're going to be screaming and yelling. But the thing about it is, we need to understand, God is not surprised. God did not just look up one day and go, oh my goodness, where did this happen? What's wrong with those people? I didn't see that coming. No, he saw it coming from the moment he spoke the world into existence. He knew today was going to happen. He knew Pastor was going to have an attack of the devil against his foot with this gout. He sees it all. He knows it all. Why? Because he is absolute. Folks, I want to tell you something. With the lines of truth being blurred, it is so important that we, as Christians, I don't care if you're 2 years old or I don't care if you're 99, as a child of God, it is so important that we stand absolutely on the Word of God and that alone. We cannot believe in our government. Our government has already tried to take everything that this nation was founded on and destroy it. Right now, as we speak, our president is telling federal judges, no longer will you push the Defense of Marriage Act. So they're opening the door to homosexual activity. We know it's taking place, but they're saying no longer this law, what did I say, the law? This law, which was made, no longer will you have to actually enforce that. At what point did he become God? See, that word came down, that law came down from the Lord above. And in our Christian forming of this nation, those laws were in place. But since they tried to blur those through an alternate lifestyle, they decided we'll just go ahead and we'll put something in place so they can't. See, there were good people, and there still are. Please don't misunderstand. But anymore, I'm believing they are the minority. They have put something in place called the Defense of Marriage Act, which stated marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, we've all heard it, and we think it's cute. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay, I'm totally for that. I agree. So they put this in place, and now our nation says no longer will we follow the laws that have been established. I want you, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to begin reading with me. Read along. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, and that's not traitors with a D, that's traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Man, we could just about mark out about half our government right there, couldn't we? But let us keep reading. I know it's a long read, but it's really worth it. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What did it say? A truth? No, the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you may carefully follow my doctrine. But hold on, I'm going to read that again. But you may carefully follow my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in whom? Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, absolutely. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're almost finished, but I have to read four more. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Sound familiar? Does it sound like the times in which we live in today? We are in perilous times. But just as we keep hearing again and again, just like Billy Graham said, these are the best of times. Things are going to grow worse. Things are going to grow dim. And people are going to flock to the light. Folks, if you don't have it in you, they won't come to you. You've got to know the absolute truth. There are absolutes. Again, I repeat, it is in good Lord above only. It is through Christ Jesus. That is the absolute truth. In John 14 and 6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me. He didn't say, I am a way. I'm one of the ways. He didn't say that. He said, what? I am the way. He didn't say, I am a truth. I am one of the truths. No, I am the truth. And you say, well, now hold on. There's other truths. Folks, I want to tell you something. I beg to differ. Without this truth, nothing else matters. Because what's happened to our society? You tell a lie long enough, people start to believe it's the truth. Thank you, Scott. You're absolutely right. They will be deceived. And we are being. There are Christians who are walking off. And just like Pastor spoke of the last few weeks. When you take a God-fearing church and allow a non-Christian denomination to come in and occupy that space, you have opened the door to the devil. Come on in. Let us know if there's anything else we can do. Why? Why would you do that? Nothing good will come of it. And you know what? It may be that their intentions were good, but they should have read more of this book. You can't take the devil and sleep in the same bed with him and expect not to be affected by it. You're going to get burned. Pastor broke it down last week, I believe, when he was talking about the church. There was a mosque that was being built, but at the time the Muslim community did not have a place to worship. So they opened up their church doors and said, you can come in and we'll let you use our church at a different time than our services. Because after all, we want to show brotherly love. Well, you know what? Again, I'm sure someone had good intentions. But you can't do that. You can't open the door to the devil and not expect it for it to affect you in a negative way. You can't allow, and like as Pastor's point was, shall we open it up to satanic worshipers? After all, they're just confused. They just don't know where their salvation lies. But you know, isn't that funny? Lies. Lies? Yeah, that's right. It's all lies. There's one way. And again, I say, Jesus, as he said, I am the way. He didn't say one of the ways. But let's look at it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. Where does our Heavenly Father reside? Heaven. Where we hope to one day be? How can we get there? Well, by allowing our Muslim brothers to come into the church and use our facilities. And then they're going to love us, right? They won't love us? What was that? I heard somebody say, take it over. Oh, they'll get it. They'll absolutely get it. There'll be no problem with that. Folks, I want to tell you something. We cannot reside with the darkness and expect it not to take our light away. There's one way, and it is an absolute, and it is through Jesus Christ. I spoke of the Defense of Marriage Act. I've heard people actually say, and they're supposed to be Christians, it's hard to find someone to love. What difference does it make? I'm sorry? What? Because it is an abomination before God. That's like saying, well, adultery is okay because it's hard to find somebody to love. Yeah, I know I'm already married and I got two girlfriends, but, well, I'm a little luckier than most people. No, you're not. You're an abomination as well. Sin is sin. But the point is, folks, this society we live in will try to blur it. I heard on the news the other day about this individual, and we'll leave it at that, who is actually opening an adulterer's website where you go out and sign up like you do some of these other social clubs, and for a small fee, he'll let you take your pick. An adulterer's website. And you think, well, that's a joke. Yeah? Why do they have over 100,000 people already signed up? Let's just say it's okay. Let's just go ahead and take everything that we know to be true and let's try to water it down enough. And look at what our media, look at all of our politicians, look at all of our celebrities. How many days can you go without finding one of them in the news for committing adultery? Maybe a half a day? Folks, this is the standard by which we are measured, not what society says. And we've got to realize that is the only standard. because nothing else matters. But if we are not built or built up on that foundation, then we will start to believe the lies that we are being told. We will start to believe that the standards which society has put out there are acceptable. They are not. This is the standard. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, there's other people who have lives. No, folks. No, they're not. They're dead. If you don't have Christ, you're dead. You have no life. It's just a matter of waiting until your heart stops. There is no life without Christ. Other people may say, well, you know what? We're good people. We just believe that you can work your way into heaven. Some of you may know what we're talking about. Folks, I want to tell you something. There are some really, really good people out there going to hell because they're trying to work their way into heaven. The work has already been accomplished, and that was through Jesus Christ. It was the blood that was shed on Calvary. It's not through works. It's not through works because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think it is so interesting that they try to cheapen the gift of God down to say that you can earn it. You know what? If I can earn it, it's obviously not worth having because I'm just not that good. No matter what I do, it's as filthy rags. My best, my righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. So what can I do to earn it? Nothing. And if I could, then it's not worth having. And that goes right along with the old saying, if you could fully understand God, then he's not a God. Or at least not one that you want. My God, we will never understand. But I look so forward to having eternity where I can try. But I've worked so hard. And my grandmother was in this church. And my parents grew up in this church. And you know what? I know that it's got to be right because they wouldn't mislead me. And you know what? I've even gone out onto the mission fields and rode my bicycle around town and talked to people. Well, Johnny, tell them what they've won. Yes, you've won an all-expense-paid vacation to the land of darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes.
Want me to go on?
Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? That's what you're going to get. That's what your reward is. If it doesn't have JC's place, you don't want it. All right? It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through works. It breaks my heart to see so many young people who have grown up in church. And because they never got that true foundation. Yes, they may have attended every time the doors were open. But they never got the foundation. They never got the absolute truth. They thought it was come to church and let's go play basketball. Let's go hang out with the other kids. Folks, you know as well as I do, sometimes church kids are worse than those out there. Because they never got a hold of this. But it's this that saves. It's the absolute word of God. And if we don't have it in here, we won't have it out there. And when those dark, perilous times come, and we're looking for that light, and it's been removed, and it's been pulled out, what will we have? Because you won't be going. Folks, I want to tell you, whether you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, I want to be on the trib, okay? I want to make sure that when that trumpet sounds, I want to go. But to think of this world, to Think of this world that we live in right now. Without the Spirit of God restraining. Oh, my. Oh, my. I thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. I thank you, Lord, that when a prayer is said for a man, that you hear it and you heal. I thank you in advance for the healing of our pastor's feet. Because you heard our prayer. Will it always be the way that we want it? No. There'll be times where we'll pray. And we'll have faith. And it won't come out the way we thought. And we'll say that word, I was absolutely sure God was going to heal them. Folks, I want to tell you something. You're looking at it through jaded eyes. You're looking at it through a jaded view because I want to tell you something. Because God takes someone out of this world doesn't mean they weren't healed. Because God doesn't heal someone's feet the first time we pray doesn't mean that God is the one who failed. And it doesn't mean that you failed. It means that you continue to go back to that source, that you continue to go back and you read it and you pray and you say, Lord, your word says. Let us look at Daniel. Let us think about Daniel. When he prayed for an answer from God, he went out and he knelt and he prayed one time and he quit. Oh, no, he did not. And then I don't understand how someone can stand up there and say, well, if you pray more than once for something, you don't have faith. Daniel didn't have faith? Oh, let me throw you in a lion's den and see how you react. Oh, I'll be like a cat trying to put in a bathtub. I'll be scratching and clawing. I don't want to go down there. But Daniel's like, all right, put me in there. Lord's going to take care of me. That's faith. Why? Because he was established. He knew the absolute. But folks, don't get confused and think, well, God didn't answer my prayer, so maybe he can't. Maybe he's not as strong as I thought he was. Oh, that's a lie straight from the devil. Oh, don't buy into that. My God can. If we could earn our own salvation through our works, explain to me why God had to send Jesus. Wouldn't he just give us more incentive? All right, look, Tim, look, here's how it is. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out here, and I need you to do this every week, and also I want you to go over to this church, and I want you to say these three things three or four times, and then I want you to go over here and I want you to do, hold on. God didn't give us a checklist like that. That means we couldn't do it on our own, but he could, and he did, and he did it through Jesus Christ, and he said, I will, because I love you, and I absolutely know he loves me, because I know where I came from, and it wasn't pretty. And I know the times I have fallen since then. And he still bends down to pick me up. And I know the times that I have felt like it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I can't keep up this. I keep falling again and again and again. Lord, I'm letting you down. And he just gently reaches down and he grabs me and he holds me. And he comforts me and he says, because I love you, child, you can't do it. But my love is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I love you, child. You can't do it. But if you accept my son, I accept you. And I'm absolutely sure that I'm going to fall again. I'm absolutely sure that when I do, my Lord is going to bend down and pick me up and help me to get through it. Because there's still work to be done. Our society is trying to get us to believe we're closed-minded because we're Christians. After all, can't other religions go to heaven too?
No.
Other denominations can go to heaven if they accept Christ as their Savior. But a religion that does not accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of the world will not go to heaven. That's absolutely true. There is only one way. In 1993, in the October issue of Life magazine, there was a picture of a young boy who was playing a flute. And at first, you just look at this child in any third world country. He might have been a little nasty. Thank you. Maybe didn't have the hygiene that we do here in America. But it is when you look closer that you notice something is amiss. Where his eyes should have been were just empty sockets. His eyes had been robbed by organ thieves. You see, the young man was sick and had a severe case of diarrhea, and his mother took him to the hospital. And when she came back the next day to pick him up, this child, his name is Jensen. The child had a rag, a bloody rag around his eyes, around his head, and blood down the front of his shirt. And she said, what has happened? And they pushed her out of the hospital and said, your son is dying. Get over it. So she took her child to another hospital where they treated him. He now lives in a facility where they treat and basically take care of blind people. She took her child after he had gotten out of the hospital and she went to the police to report it. And because we are talking Bogota, Colombia, and because corruption is so rampant, they basically kicked her to the curb as well. There's nothing we can do. Now, here's the thing. Most of us would be so offended over what has happened, there would be such a moral outrage. But it happens every day. Many times it's because good doctors go to work, and someone is brought in by these drug cartels, and that doctor is told, you harvest the organs out of this person, or we're going to harvest your child or your wife's. And they do it. But see, Jensen was lucky. They only took his eyes. Most of the time, there are no witnesses. Most of the time, it is at the expense of the individual. It costs them their life because they take as many organs as they can and you sell them on the black market. And you may say, why in the world would you say that? Because I want to tell you something. Just as those organ thieves have taken his sight, so too is our society taking the sight of Christians in our society today. They are thieves. They are stealing the vision of the church. And we, as Christians, have got to stand up and believe absolutely in what we believe in. We have got to get back into the Word of God, not just on Sunday or Wednesday when Pastor opens it up. If you open up your Bible and dust comes out, it's a good indicator you're not reading enough. If it opens and it says, you're not reading it enough. If it's falling apart, you probably have a life that isn't. I want to share with you a couple more thoughts. And this is the one that I keep coming back to again and again when I was preparing for this. I think of Moses going to the Lord and asking him, but when I go to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, who did I tell them that sent me? Because you see, he had a stuttering problem. And if I offend anyone with that, I'm not trying to disrespect anyone who stutters. But the point I'm trying to make, God looked right over that because he saw what was here. And that's just the way he is. When Moses asked God that, God went, let me think about it. Let's see. Who's really hot on the charts right now? No, we won't tell them that. Let's see. What good politicians do you have? No, let's see. No, that's not how it was at all, does it? God said, I am that I am. Did he hesitate? Was he confused about who he was? Was there any concern that perhaps someone might not accept that? You know what? He was absolutely sure who he was. The question is, brothers and sisters in Christ, are we absolutely sure who he is? We need to be, because the days are going dark. And we need to be that light. And we need to make sure that these young people know, because we have no idea what they're listening to or are exposed to at schools. We don't know what they're exposed to by their friends. Oh, yeah, back there when you get sent to hell for trying to earn it by works, I forgot this part. Oh, and also, Johnny, don't forget that they're going to be tied to the shackle to their friends because they helped drag them there also. See, our friends sometimes help us to see the truth, and they wind up like Jensen. Blinded. And we go down that same path. Folks, we need to be the one who's given the eyes back, given that vision back, given the light back. And we can only do that if we know this Word of God, if we know who God is, and we believe it with everything we are. And you know what? Folks, that doesn't mean if you have a doubt that you're going to hell. When the good Lord above spoke the universe into existence, he said, you know what, on this day Tim's going to doubt me. On this day he's going to doubt whether he's going to continue or not. On this day he's going to do this. On this day he knew it all. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows that we're going to fail. He knows we're going to question. Doubt is a part of your growth process. A child is not come out of the womb and immediately jump up and say, you know what? I think I can run the marathon. I know I can. No, they start out with this little wobbly feet. I came down the road today and a newborn calf was out in the field. And I mean, it had to have been within 15 minutes. The umbilical cord was still attached. That little calf, boy, I mean, little legs just wobbling all around. And I'm like, Lord, that's just going to tie right in. It's awesome. And that's how the Lord is. That mother didn't kick that calf away. What's wrong with you? Stand up there. Because she knows that's part of the growing process. We gain strength as we try our legs out. And we gain faith in God. By the T and P's. Now, Lord, hold on. Your word says, and I'm believing it, and it may be a day, and it may be a week, or it may be a year, or 10 years, or 20 years, but someday you're going to take that pen out, and you're going to say, T and P. T and P. Because God's word does not return void. God's word is absolute. And we need to stand on that word. We need to know who we follow, know what he says, and believe it absolutely. Why is it so important? I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, and we'll be closing shortly. I know it's warm in here, and I'm standing up and could easily go to sleep. But hopefully it's not the preaching that keeps you drowsy. I want you to read with me verses 1 through 3 in the book, chapter 1, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Now I want you to read this part. This is the most important one. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And I love verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Got glory bumps on that one. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. But most of all, know who Christ Jesus is in you. When Jesus said, but who do you say I am? He first asked, who do the people say I am? And they started saying all the different people. Well, some believe you're this and some believe this. But then he hit the point and he said, Rhoda, but who do you believe I am? Folks, I'm asking you today, who do you believe he is? Do you believe he's the creator of the universe? God Almighty? Savior of the world? And do you believe it? Absolutely. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and bow your heads with me. There's only one way to know the difference in truth and darkness. And that is with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that can only be had by calling upon the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we do that by simply admitting that we're sinners. That we know that God sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to earth, God in the flesh, to be a sacrifice for our sins, because we cannot save ourselves. And we have to ask God to forgive us our sins, ask Jesus to come and live in our heart and guide us to a new life. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide us every day in everything that we do so that we'll draw closer to him. If you decide to make Jesus Christ your Savior, I ask that you tell someone right then that you've accepted Jesus Christ, because you need the accountability. I ask you, for those who may hear this on the internet, if you don't know Jesus, I ask that you get into a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, come check out New Life for the Nations. If it's perhaps too far away, find a good Bible-believing church somewhere. There are many in all the different communities. But get into church somewhere. We gain strength when we gather together in Christ's name. I'm going to ask that you go ahead and stand as we close out. And I'm going to go ahead and turn the microphone back over to Pastor and let him close us.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I have to share one thing because it just wouldn't have the punch if I didn't share it now. Laverne, of course, we're planning now, getting ready for the conference. And she's invited a speaker, and the person asked, "What's the theme?" And went for one of the rapid fire ladies speakers. And so she'd been talking to me the last few days about this and that, and I'm thinking, I don't feel like talking about that. I can't concentrate on that. I have an idea, but let me get through this pain, and then I'll get back with you on it. Well, last night she said, she asked me some questions about it. I said, I don't know. I kind of knew, but I wasn't sure. And so I said, well, Lord, help me put it together. The theme of our conference is going to be winning in perilous times. Winning in perilous times. And this is the scriptures that the Lord gave me. This is what will appear as, but this know, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, see, if this had happened last night, I might have thought it was an afterthought just from what Brother Tim did today. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That's 2 Peter 3:1. Here's the ending. Romans 8:37. It reads like this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's our conference theme this year. And the conference, it's for everybody. It's not just for our EGA members. It's for everybody. It's for the whole church. And I want to tell you this, Brother Tim. I really wanted to preach that sermon. I'm glad you got to. But I thought, wow, I'm serious. I mean, I have thought for a while, I need, and then after I read Psalm 12, I thought, yep, it's time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. It's God. Or it's nothing. It's His way, or there's no way. And I tell you something, Tim, you ought to send this into some Christian publication that puts that little stuff and say this. If your Bible's falling apart, your life probably isn't. I thought that was awesome. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You, Lord God, for the love that You've given to us. We thank You, Father, that we are more than conquerors, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. And I thank You, Lord God, that You enable us in all things. Bless the people now as we go to our places of abode. Watch after us through this day. Bring us back together tonight at the service here, Lord God, as we gather together in Your name, as we assemble ourselves together. We thank You, Father. Blessing and peace be upon you, people of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, you haven't got your directory yet. We've got them out here in the... No, we've got them somewhere. Where are they? I don't know where they are, but I was told to tell you not to forget them.